Good morning. If Rav Dishon Shlita was the water after the Afikoman, I'm not sure exactly where that leaves me. I think the truth is I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch. But the truth is, I want to begin by saying what an incredible privilege it has been to be part of this Shabbos. Remember, my wife and I, this is our second Project Inspire convention. And you think sometimes after you experience something once, you appreciate the totality and profundity of it. But the truth is, last year was incredibly cathartic and overwhelming. And this year just built on that. But to be the closing speaker in a convention filled with inspirational and incredible speakers is a daunting task. I would be lying to you if I didn't tell you that I was not filled with anxiety all of Shabbos. What is Rabbi Weinberger going to speak about? What is this one going to speak about? I thought a lot about what I wanted to share with you as a closing message. What are the breakout sessions talking about? But I have the great tzichus to be able to close out this year's convention with a parting message. You know, whenever my children complain about something, and Baruch Hashem, they are not complainers. But whenever they do complain about something, I tell them the same line. I say to them, Baruch Hashem, you have first world problems. Whatever the challenge is, you have a first world problem. I'm not minimizing it. I understand that in your little mind and in your little world, it's quite profound and overwhelming. But context, perspective, is so incredibly important. And I remember learning this lesson from my parents growing up. And it wasn't from something that they said, but it was something that occurred in my home, which I'm sure would be the same like many of you. Sunday night was usually dinner with Shabbos leftovers. And I remember one particular Sunday where, for whatever the reason, I was feeling like a little bit more of a general mechutzof than usual. And I was like, really, we're having leftovers for Sunday dinner? This is what we're doing? So my mother, She Should Live and Be Well, is setting the table, getting everything ready. And in my mind, I'm playing over the lines that I could tell my mother, like good lines. You know, even Sari Imenu, it was only the Shabbos candles that remained lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. The food was just for Shabbos. Or, I see we're now observing Shabbos Sheni Shel Golias. And I'm about to open my mouth. My mother, some of you met over the Poland trip, is a very, very, very wise lady. And I guess she had an inkling as to what it was that I was about to say. Some type of cynical, snarky comment. And she looked at me. She didn't say anything. And it wasn't a look of anger. It wasn't a look of disgust. It wasn't the look of how dare you. It was a look of sadness. That my beloved child, I'm sorry that you're acting this way. You are a grandchild of survivors. What your grandparents and extended mishpacha who are no longer here would have given for this meal that you are so quickly dismissive of. The lack of hakaras hatov you have for the life that your father and I have provided and worked so hard to give you. Mind you, she did not utter any of these words, but I saw them in her eyes. And so when it comes to leftovers, we all have our different opinions. Some of us look forward to Sunday night Shabbos leftovers, and others look forward for an excuse to be out. But that's when it comes to leftovers of gashmius, material, physical leftovers. But when it comes to ruchnius leftovers, that's something we all have to take with us. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, on the bracha with which we conclude Psukei Dezimra, HaBocher B'Shirei Zimra, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the one who chooses, HaBocher, you choose, Shirei Zimra, the beautiful melodic songs of praise of the Jewish people. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, You have to read the word, vocalize the word a little bit differently. Habocher bishiyare zimra. You see, the most important thing in life is shirayim, is leftovers. Ruch nishrem. I remember as a child, my grandfather, who was a survivor, used to take my brother and I to see the Baba Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Livracha on Sukkis for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And it was one year that we were especially close to the Rebbe. He was giving out shirayim. I couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old. I realize a lot of my childhood memories centered around food, but I guess that's a different issue. And someone put a piece of kugel in my hand. A piping piece of hot kugel, like skin graft worthy hot kugel. And I remember that I just wanted to scream and drop it. And I looked at my grandfather, Zichron Levracha, and like to him, it was like, you know, I won the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. There was a piece of kugel in my hand from the Rebbe. It's not just the Hasidim who appreciate Shirayim, but Abocher b'shiyare zimra. What are the Shirayim? What are the leftovers that we are taking with us from this Shabbos? You know, to a certain degree, a Shabbos like this, I feel like it's almost a little bit of like Ruchni overload. You know, sometimes you go to a shir, you go to a lecture, you go to an event, and there's a speaker, there's a topic, there's a message. And you come to a Project Inspire convention, and there's so many speakers, and each of them incredible, and each of them with a different perspective, and a different nuanced understanding of the world, and a different appreciation of the Ribono Shel Olam, of Torah, of Am Yisrael. Each of them with a different story, a different narrative, a different reason why they are where they are. And you say, okay, I'm going to take this lesson. That's why I came. And then the next speaker comes, I'm going to take that lesson. And then by the time you come to Sunday morning, the end of the convention, it's like your head is swimming with incredible and overwhelming lessons. But I don't want to leave here in a state of confusion. I want to leave here with a sense of clarity. I want to leave here with a sense of mission. I want to leave here with a renewed focus. I want to leave here with shirayim. I want to leave with leftovers. I want to take something that's going to change my life. I want to take something that's going to alter the way that I live. I want to take something that's going to shape me in the days and the weeks ahead. And I don't want to wait till next year, the Project Inspire convention, to once again be awakened with these ideas and notions. I want to take something with me now. So I want to share with you, as part of the Shirayim, an incredible story. It's always dangerous to share stories in a public setting, because it could be that some of you heard the story, and for all I know, it was already shared in one of the sessions. But if you never heard it, you'll enjoy it, and if you did hear it, it'll be good chazara. There's a story about a chassid who went over to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And this was a chassid who had a long-standing relationship with the Rebbe, and had gone to sort out the Rebbe's counsel on many different life issues, many different things which came up. And he appears before the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh with a very strange request. He says, Rebbe, I would like to meet Eliyahu HaNavi. The Rebbe says, okay. Closes his eyes for a moment. The Baal Shem Tov says, here's what you need to do. Pack up your wagon. Go and spend Shabbos in a particular city. And it's there that you will meet Eliyahu HaNavi. Good chassid listens to his Rebbe, packs up the wagon, ventures off to the city, shows up in the city, Kabbalah Shabbos, davening is a ma'ariv, davening is over, waiting for an invitation for someone to invite him in. But alas, no one invited him for the Suda. So he makes his way out of the shul, looks for the first home that he can find with the mezuzah, and he finds a small little rundown shack, knocks on the door. A young woman opens the door, and he says, excuse me, I'm visiting town. Is it okay if I join you for Shabbos? And the young woman, holding back sobs, says, I'm so sorry. I'm a recent amana, I'm a recent widow. My husband passed away and left me with many young children. Chovos, debts, we have no money. So as much as I would love to invite you to share Shabbos with us, I do not have the means to do so. And the man says, don't worry. I came with a wagon filled with provisions. I have everything I need. I just need a place to stay. So he comes into the home, puts out the tablecloth, and there's food, there's challahs, there's fish, there's chicken, everything you could possibly want. The Friday night Suda goes by. Shabbos day Suda goes by. And it's Shalosh Shudis. And he figures, Shalosh Shudis, the most intimate and holy time of Shabbos. This must be the time that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come through the door. He's going to show himself to me. And I'm going to finally get to meet Eliyahu. Shalosh Shudis comes and goes. He makes Havdalah. Goes back to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Says, Rebbe, I did like you asked, but I didn't meet Eliyahu HaNavi. Baal Shem Tov closes his eyes again after a few moments of deep, penetrating thought. Says to the chassid, okay, here's what you need to do. Pack up your wagon, go back to the town for Shabbos, and this time you'll meet the Baal Shem Tov. This time you'll meet Eliyahu HaNavi. So the man listens, packs up the wagon again, and the same story repeats itself. No invitations after Kabbalah Shabbos Ma'ariv. He goes out of the shul, knocks on the small hut. The woman once again, the Amona, apologizes for not being able to host him. He once again says, no problem, I have all my provisions. They have Shabbos night, Shabbos day, Shalosh Shudis, and still no Eliyahu HaNavi. He comes back again to the Baal Shem Tov. Rebbe, you told me I would meet Eliyahu HaNavi if I went to the city. I've gone there two Shabbases. You know, a good chassid doesn't ask his Rebbe questions. But even good chassidim reach their limit. His Rebbe, I followed your advice to the T twice. I'm a good chassid. I'm an obedient soldier. And I still haven't met Eliyahu HaNavi. The Baal Shem Tov says, okay, do me this favor. Go back one more Shabbos. Packs up the wagon, goes back to the town. And this time he knows no one's going to invite him. There's no Hachnasas Archim in this city for whatever the reason. And so he's making his way out of Shul, about to go knock on the door of the home of the widow. And right as he's standing on the threshold, about to knock on the door, he hears a conversation occurring on the other side of the door. And he hears young children crying. Mame, mame, we're so hungry. Ever since Tati died, things haven't been the same. Ever since Tati died, there's no simcha in our home. There's no Shabbos. There's nothing. And the mother, consoling her grieving children, says, my tire kindalach. My beautiful children, don't cry. Because the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us Eliyahu HaNavi the last 2 weeks, will send us Eliyahu HaNavi this Shabbos also. And in that moment, the chassid understood that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was teaching him such an incredible lesson. We spend our lives waiting for the angel of redemption, when in fact, our avoda, our sacred mission in life, is to become Eliyahu HaNavi, to become the angel of redemption, to stop waiting for someone else to redeem us, and to find the way to redeem ourselves and those around us. Of course, achaki lo b'chol yom sheyavo. We wait, we pine, we eagerly anticipate for the arrival of the Melech HaMashiach Mihira B'Yameinu. And we believe that it could be any day. And we believe it could be every day. But we cannot wait for Eliyahu HaNavi to come to be the angel of salvation. We must try to become Eliyahu HaNavi and to effect salvation in all the different corners of our world. We must become the angels of salvation for ourselves. How many times does it happen There are things we want to accomplish. There are things we want to do. But we outsource our success to other people. I would be this if only this person would do this, and this person would do this. And if only he would act this way, and she would say this, and this person would give me this. Then I could be the best form of me. You can't wait for other people to affect your personalistic salvation. If you want something out of life, you have to make it happen for yourself. And how many times in life do we see broken situations? How many times in life do we see people in compromised positions, compromised situations? Be it, as Rav Dishon spoke about before so beautifully, children who are off the derech. Be it individuals who don't even know anything about their Yiddishkeit. Or people within our families, our communities, who are in such a state of distress, and we see it, and we krachts a little bit, and maybe we utter a kapitel of Tehillim, but do we become Eliyahu HaNavi? Do we become the angels of salvation to help extricate someone else from their difficult situation and circumstances? So how do we actualize this Eliyahu HaNavi identity which resides within each of us? And I think, my dear friends, amazingly enough, the answer to it, like all other answers, is in our Torah HaKidosha. So Rav Dishon spoke about so beautifully before, Torah introduces us to the concept of the Mishkan. And perhaps the most dramatic piece, part, or fixture, or utensil of the Mishkan was the Aron, the Ark of the Covenant. And the Torah describes that perched on the lid of the Aron were the Kruvim, two cherub-like figures, two angelic-like figures, one of a male, one of a female. And the Pasuk says, V'hayu ha-Kruvim parsei knafayim l'malo. Something very interesting. The cherub-like figures, the Kruvim, have wings. So you would think if I were constructing the Mishkan and I'm making Kruvim, I would have made the wings at rest on their sides. But that's not how the wings of the Kruvim were positioned. They were parsei kenafayim lamala. They were spread upwards. Upneyem ish el achiv. And they faced one another. And perhaps the Torah is giving us the secret to actualizing our Eliyahu HaNavi identity. How do you become the angel of your own salvation? Parsei kenafayim lemala. What does that position mean if the wings are spread upwards? It means that they're ready to take flight. You see, when the kruv has its wings spread upward and it pushes down, that's when it lifts itself up. If you want to become your own Eliyahu HaNavi, if you want to become your own angel of salvation, you must be ready to flap your wings and propel yourself upwards. There are so many incredible opportunities that we have in life. You know, I have to tell you, I've been thinking a lot over the course of this Shabbos that, you know, we've been hearing a lot about the crisis that Klal Yisrael is facing with the myriads of unaffiliated Jews. And that is a crisis, and one for which we must answer the call, each of us. But I just want to tell you, there's another piece to the narrative. And that never before has Klal Yisrael experienced such prosperity. Never before have we had such access to Torah. Never before, that even if you have absolutely no background, and you can't read a word of Hebrew or Aramaic, you could finish Shas. Never before has there been such a golden age of Am Yisrael. Never before has there been such extensive networks of chesed organizations in every single organized Jewish community, which tells us that the opportunities in front of us for learning, for chesed, for tzedakah, are unparalleled. There are so many incredible opportunities that come our way each and every day. And sometimes the great challenge of the human condition is that we're too busy to utilize or actualize them. You know, there's a dramatic passage in the Megillah when Mordechai tells Esther about the decree of Haman. He sends word to Esther, you have to go to Ahasuerus. And Esther, essentially, at first says to Mordechai, no. Now she doesn't say explicitly no. But she says, everyone knows that if you go to the king unannounced, you go to the king uninvited, you run the risk of losing your life. She effectively says no. And Mordechai responds to Esther in such a dramatic way. He says to her, Ki macharish tacharishi ba'is hazos, revach v'atzala yamodidim makom acher. My dear Esther, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any of us. God's plan will come to fruition whether we do our part or not. We have the great privilege to partner with God in the actualization of the master divine plan. But should we shirk our responsibilities to do so? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just find someone else. But then he says to Esther, Umi yodea, im lo'is kazos higat lemalchus. But Esther, who knows? Maybe it was for this moment that you became queen. And the Malbim in his Perish on this Pasuk says something dramatically amazing. That Mordechai was teaching us that sometimes we are put in this world to accomplish one thing in one moment. And sometimes multiple generations are brought into this world just to bring about one person to accomplish one thing in one moment. But if you miss your moment, you run the risk of denying meaning to your life and potentially all those who came before you. My dear friends, every day is filled with moments, dramatic moments, moments of growth, moments of self-actualization, moments of discovering our potential and kohos, moments that offer us the opportunity to become the best version of ourselves. And Nebuch, how many times does it happen that those moments come right by us, they show up at our doorstep, they nestle right at our feet, and we say, sorry, not right now, a bit too busy. If you want to become your own Eliyahu HaNavi, if you want to become your own agent of salvation, we must be Parsei Kenafayim Lamala. Our wings, each and every day, must be pointed upwards, ready to take flight by taking advantage of the moments and opportunities which present themselves to us day in and day out. It is true. Maybe we can't take advantage of all the opportunities, and I would dare say there are some opportunities that are good to pass on. But to live life with eyes wide open, to see the magnificent opportunities for personalistic spiritual growth that present themselves to us every day, and to make sure that we're ready to flap our wings, to be B'nai Aliyah, people who are growth-oriented, and take advantage of those opportunities day in and day out. But there's a second piece of the Kruvim, and they are P'neiim Ish El Achiv. The Kruvim faced each other. P'neim Ishal Achav. Because in life, it is not enough just to flap your own wings. And in life, it is not enough just to be focused and centered on your own personal growth. You must always have your face towards the other. So much of what we've heard and what we've learned over this Shabbos has been exactly about that point. It is so easy to lose yourself in yourself. It is so easy to become preoccupied and develop a blinders, a myopic vision, and to only focus on me. And in good ways, I'm focused on my growth. I'm focused on my aliyah. But the Kruvim didn't just have their wings positioned upward to take flight. They faced each other, modeling for us a need to be attentive for the spiritual and yes, material needs of another. The Lubavitch Rebbe said something so beautiful. He says, you know, in halacha, the right always has dominance. I'm a lefty, so I get mixed up with right. The right always has dominance. It was in today's daf, right? Kol shel bracha, you take it in your right hand. The right always has dominance. And the Rebbe says something so amazing. If the right always has dominance, then why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put our heart on the left side? The heart should have been on the right. And the Rebbe says so beautifully, your heart is on your left, but when you're facing another Jew, your heart is on his right. Because your heart is not for you. Your heart is for the other. What am I doing for Klal Yisrael? I agree with Rav Dishon's sentiment that the notion or sometimes the title of Kiruv professionals sometimes does a disservice to the work of Kiruv, because it sounds like we need to be a professional in order to do it. And I would tell you that sometimes you could even dispense, I know this is probably the wrong thing to say at a Project Inspire convention, you could even dispense with the word Kiruv a little bit. You could substitute being nice. Being nice. You open up your home to another Jew. You open up your life to another Jew. You don't have to say that you're involved in Kiruv. You're just involved in being a mensch. Upinehem ish el achiv. There are so many of our beautiful brothers and sisters who are yearning for connection. Some of them are yearning for connection because they don't know anything about their Yiddishkeit. But there are so many others who know plenty about their Yiddishkeit, but are alienated or disenfranchised for a whole variety of reasons. And some of them even look like they're playing the part of an observant Jew on the outside, but inside they're so tzibrachin, and so broken, and so spiritually disheveled. Upneim ishal achiv. Open your life to someone else. Be attentive to the needs of another. Look out for someone else. And by the way, it's not just a Shabbos meal or a trip on the Bourbon Trail or wherever else these incredible Kiruv trips go, or to Poland. It's when you're walking on Shabbos and there's someone else who you think may be Jewish. I'll tell you a little secret. I've embarrassed myself many times by saying good Shabbos to people who weren't Jewish. But my shita in life is, I would always rather err on the side of caution. I'd rather get a strange look from someone not Jewish than have a Jew walk by me and say, wow, that's Torah? That's the Ribono Shel Olam? That's the ambassador of God in this world? And doesn't even say a good Shabbos to me? Pneim ish al achiv. It doesn't have to be dramatic. The small little things that we do day in and day out make such a dramatic impact. There's a story that's told that after the Moshe Feinstein Zecher Tzadik Livracha passed away, one of his sons was tending to some of the Moshe's unfinished business in the household. And he was in the Moshe's apartment on Erev Shabbos and the phone rang. The son, I don't know which son the story centered on, but the son picked up the phone. He said, yes. And there was an elderly woman on the other line. And she said, is Rabbi Feinstein there? And the son said, you know, I'm sorry, Rabbi Feinstein passed away. She said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Can you tell me what time is Shabbos? What time is Shabbos? So the son grabs the calendar. Shabbos is 6:42, a good Shabbos. The same son is in Ramosha's study the next Erev Shabbos. And once again, the phone rings. Elderly lady on the other line says, excuse me, Rabbi Feinstein this time, what time is Shabbos? So the son takes out the calendar, 6 foot, whatever, tells a good Shabbos. And he says to her, by the way, you know you can get a calendar and it has candle lighting times. You don't have to call. You can get your own calendar. And there's silence on the phone. So he said, oh, I've been calling Rabbi Feinstein for 20 years. And he always gives me Shabbos candle lighting times. The Gadol Hadar, upon whose shoulders all of Klal Yisrael sat, found the time to tell a simple elderly woman what time Shabbos was. He would have had every right to say, "Lady, this is the last week. I'll send you 5 calendars on me. Put one in every room." But you know, my friends, what makes a gadol is not simply the amount of Torah they learn. Anyone could learn a lot of Torah. Anyone could ingest voluminous amounts of information if they put their mind to it. What makes a gadol is a voluminous amount of Torah coupled with an unbridled sense of klal, of avas Yisrael, of upinehem ish el achiv, to be attentive. And that's what we have to work on. So some of you may decide to invite co-workers and friends or neighbors to a Shabbos meal. Others of you may choose to participate in future Project Inspire initiatives and events. Some of you may decide to do the beautiful Mishloach Manos project or send your own Shalach Manos to people who may not even know what Shalach Manos is. And some of you may just decide to start saying Good Shabbos to every single person you meet on the street. And when you get those weird looks, like inevitably you will, just know you're in good company. And so, my dear friends, as we take leave of this incredible convention, I think even to call it a convention sounds wrong. It's not a convention. It's a prolonged, is odorous. As we take leave of this prolonged weekend of is odorous, we each walk away with our shirayim. We walk away with our leftovers. And however you feel about material leftovers, we all love spiritual leftovers. The shirayim we take away is the need for each of us to become an Eliyahu HaNavi. An Eliyahu HaNavi, an angel of redemption for ourselves, an angel of redemption for the other, to live a life of parsei knafayim lamala, growth-oriented. Every day you must fly higher. Every day I must take advantage of my moments. Every day I must know that I am growing in some incremental, measurable way. But lest you think that your own growth is enough, upneim ishalochif. We leave here with a renewed sense of commitment to Am Yisrael, to our brothers and sisters, that it is not enough to live a life that is focused on self-growth. It is not enough to live a life that is focused on just self-actualization. But we must focus on the needs of our brothers and sisters in Gans Klal Yisrael. And I hope that the Shirayim from this Shabbos will, Mirza Hashem, feed our neshamas for the weeks and the months ahead. And Mirza Hashem in the Zuchus of all of us becoming B'nai and B'nos Aliyah, and the Zuchus of all of us flapping our wings and sharing a bit more love with the brothers and sisters of Am Yisrael. May we be Zocha that Amir Tzashem, the next Project Inspired Convention, will not be held in beautiful Stamford, Connecticut, but Amir Tzashem will be held with all of Am Yisrael together, with the Melech HaMashiach at our helm, with a rebuilt, beautiful, magnificent, third base HaMikdash, Imhera B'Yameinu. Amen.